This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to The Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We are talking with Soraya about BiCon 2015, the UK's biggest bisexual event of the year. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're really happy to have you here. We kind of missed you guys last year. We did get to talk to Carolyn Walters for BiRecon, which is not happening this year, right?
Yeah, BiRecon happens every second year, so there'll be one next year.
Yes. So let's talk about you for a few minutes. How long have you been working with BiCon?
This is my first year volunteering for BiCon. I've been going to BiCon for, I think my first one was in 2010. I think I've gone pretty much every year but one since then. It's kind of one of those things that, yeah, a lot of people find themselves coming back every year.
Oh, we should hope so, yeah. And what do you do for them?
I'm doing digital communications at the moment, so I look after the website and different things like that. I send the emails if people have received those.
Mm-hmm. Well, the website's great. It's very comprehensive and has everything you need. By the way, you can go see who's all running the BiCon this year, everything that's happening. It's really great.
Oh, brilliant.
So let's have a little history about BiCon. How long has it been going on?
Okay, so BiCon's been going since, I believe the first one was in 1984, so that's 31 years, I think. So, and it's been happening, I believe it's happened annually since then. And it's always held in different cities around the UK. So, you know, one year to the next, it'll be in a different place. It's quite interesting, actually, if you go to the website bicon.org.uk, they have a history of each of the BiCon events that have happened. And some of the sort of reports from them are quite amazing in terms of, you know, for example, they weren't able to help hold the hold BiCon in a venue one year. Was sort of explicitly told that, you know, bisexual people weren't allowed to enter the space. So some really interesting sort of things have happened in the history of BiCon that sort of, you know, talk about really why we're doing it.
I'm not surprised that happened. I'm just kind of sorry that it did.
Yeah.
But we endure, right?
Mm.
We are resilient. Every year you guys run a theme, is that correct?
We have a themed ball every year. It's one of the highlights of BiCon that people sort of, you know, really look forward to finding out what the theme's going to be. And you sort of see a lot of chat on Twitter and that kind of thing about, oh, what am I going to, you know, do for my costume? What are the decorations going to be like? This year, because we're in Nottingham, which is sort of synonymous with the Robin Hood stories, the theme is the Magic Forest. And we're going to have some actual magicians. There's going to be some lovely forest decorations, and I'm really looking forward to sort of seeing what people come up with in terms of costumes. I think it'll be great.
Fantastic. I'm looking at that too. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Is that Nottingham University Park this year?
That's
it's August 13th to 17th. And can we just get kind of an idea of what other events, speakers and sessions are planned?
Okay. It's the 13th to the 16th of August, so that's a Thursday through to a Sunday. And we usually have about, so BiCon is formed by the people who go to it. Everything that happens because of people deciding to volunteer to offer a session or an entertainment, for example. There's usually about 70 to 80 programmed sessions, and quite often when you turn up, you know, you'll see that people have added additional sessions up on the notice board saying, you know, if anyone wants to meet and discuss this at 6 o'clock at this place or something like that. So there's a lot of formal program, but also, you know, all these other things kind of going on at the same time. Now, what the sessions tend to cover, they tend to be things like workshops and talks, but also informal spaces where it's, you know, just kind of like turn up and this is our kind of discussion topic and, you know, whatever comes up. Games, sort of getting to know you type things. And then there's kind of like some sort of outdoor sporting activities quite often, like, you know, maybe tag or I think social skating is quite a popular one. But some examples of some of the things that are confirmed on the program right now, there's a bat walk. So we're going to walk around the campus and actually talk about UK bats. There's a sign language social for people that know sign language to chat and sign. There's a talk that's actually talking about a large campaign to tackle hate crime against LGBT plus people, which is called Love Bisexuals Hate Hate Crime, We've got live action speed dating. There's a session called The Only Bi in the Village, which is talking about what it's like to be bisexual and to be living in a small town or somewhere that's quite isolated, which I think that'll be really interesting, having grown up in a small town myself.
Oh, my friend, he would really love that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think, you know, I'd be interested to find out what, because, you know, I'm 36, but I'd be really interested to find out what that's like if you're, say, I don't know, 19 or 20 now. Is that really different because there's the internet and everything like that to what it was like when I was growing up? I think there's so many interesting questions around that, like what the experience is like. There's always, ever since 2010, I believe, there's been Bisexuals of Colour have had a session as a safe space session, and that's happening again this year. Bi Visibility and Trade Unions, there's a transgender, transition, non-binary and agender space. And there's a basic self-defense workshop. So there's quite a few things that are confirmed already. And it's just the sessions, not even getting started on the entertainment.
That's already, there's a whole bunch I'd love to attend. Yeah. Well, it sounds fantastic. What kind of accommodations are available? And I'm talking about as far as housing, food, is there childcare available?
Yeah, actually, this is one of the things that I think is really, really great about Bi, kind of makes it more inclusive, I think. We have on-site accommodation available. So it's a university and the halls of residence, so where the students live during the term time. Those are available for people to book. And you can book that at the same time as booking your BiCon, obviously. We have a few different room types. For example, there's the most accessible rooms are kept for anyone who has accessibility needs. So that's something that you can actually identify when you're booking. And then we have some rooms that have sort of got larger beds than the others, which is sort of might be handy. And we've got standard room types as well. So there's quite a range of room types. And basically what we're doing is we're sort of like allocating them on a sort of a first come, first served basis. Those rooms are very close to the sort of social area. So in the evening when there's the ball and that kind of thing, those rooms are really handy. And it's one of the things that's actually happened for me, I think, is that I've, over the course of going to BiCon, I've become like a person who definitely goes and stays on site, because other times when it's been somewhere where I was relatively near where I lived or stayed with a friend or something like that, you're actually having so much fun in the evenings and having such great conversations that it's really, really sad to have to, you know, take the last train home at 11 or something like that. So I definitely recommend that if anyone's thinking of going to BiCon, that having accommodation on site is really great. We're also catered this year, so for people coming during the day, there's lunch included, and if people let us know what their dietary requirements are in advance, we can cater to those. And we also have breakfast and dinner is included for people that are staying on site in the accommodation as well. So, yeah, that's the accommodation.
That's fantastic. I love that idea of having it right there on the campus. I went to Big House, and I totally agree. It was really hard to leave tonight. It was... We found so many excuses and places to go just so we wouldn't have to separate up.
Yeah, it's really like that, isn't it? It's kind of like, you know, somebody described BiCon as being kind of like the bisexual pride. And I think it really is like that. Like, you meet so many people who are sort of, you know, really kind of cognizant of the same things that you might be sort of, you know, thinking about a lot, you know, and you have these really great discussions in it. So it's really... it's good to be able to sort of let those kind of extend for as long as you possibly can, really. And a lot of people really look forward to it, and it's the highlight of their year, they say.
Do you have keynote speakers, presenters who, like, open the festivities or...?
We do. We have an opening and a closing plenary, so everyone gets together at the very first session that opens, and... some people from the organising committee will welcome everybody, and, you know, we'll sort of talk about what's happening throughout BiCon. And I believe in the, I hope this is accurate, in the opening and closing plenaries, there's some decision-making taken as well, because BiCon is kind of, every year there's a different organising team, but there's also a sort of an overarching body which is called BiCon Continuity Limited, I believe, which is, I think it's set up as a charity, and all the decisions about how BiCon is run, our policies and that kind of thing, are decided in those plenaries. So if there's anyone wants a sort of a change to the code of conduct or something like that, then it has to be sort of voted on and agreed in those sort of sessions, just to make sure that BiCon is kind of like, you know, reliably consistent sort of thing that people know what they're getting from year to year.
Exactly. I think that I saw somewhere on the site that there is kind of a loose dress code or things like that. So I guess you have to decide on those things, right?
Yeah, we have a code of conduct on the site, and every so often, you know, things people will want things added to that or a slight mm-hmm. amendments. That's a good example of the way things are decided.
Yeah, fantastic. So I have my last question. Well, actually, I have two more questions. Sorry, the Access Fund. Mm-hmm. It is closing for submission soon. What is the Access Fund and what is the deadline?
I'm really glad you asked about that, actually. The Access Fund is a fund where people who go to BICON contribute to that fund. And anyone who has a financial need can apply to that fund to have the cost of their BICON reduced. So we have the price of attending BICON is on a sort of a sliding income scale anyway, but some mm-hmm. people will have other reasons why they find BICON difficult to afford, such as, for example, debt might be a good example of that. Perhaps losing a job, something like that. There's a few examples on the website and the Access Fund page. And so people can apply and their application will be considered anonymously, and then they'll be told with a sort of fraction of their BICON cost will be reduced for them if that's accepted. There's also this year we've got a sort of a special extra, I believe we're actually calling it, yeah, the extra Access Fund, and this has only just been announced, so this is kind of like brand new information. We had a sort of a generous one-off donation was given to the Access Fund this year, and it's been decided that this money will be used to sort of enable people who are first-time BICON goers, who have never been to BICON before, and identify with as being part of one of these four groups that are sort of traditionally underrepresented at BICON. And those groups mm-hmm. are people of colour, which includes people of mixed heritage, working class people, people over 55, and people aged 16 to 21. And the amount that we're actually able to reduce people's costs by through this extra Access Fund is actually quite considerable. So the one-day passes go down to £3, and going to the full night with three nights accommodation is only going to be £15 for those people. So I'd really encourage anyone who is new to BICON and falls within those groups that I mentioned to apply to the Extra Access Fund too.
Oh, my co-host Becca qualifies for two of those. Is there, she already applied for the Access Fund. Is there, do you have to apply for a different one for the extra one?
If anyone's already applied for the Access Fund, what I would suggest that they do, and they fit under the criteria of the Extra Access Fund, what I'd suggest that they do is put in an Extra Access Fund application.
Okay, I will tell her to do that. That'd be great, yeah. Yeah, so hopefully she'll be able to do that. Oh, the date, when is it close up? I'm sorry, do you know?
Oh, so the closing of the Access Fund, yes, we need all Access Fund applications to be in by the end of July, I believe it. Basically, I'd say for people to get their applications in as soon as they can, really. Yeah.
We'll go with that, and you can tell me I can put it on.
I actually forgot to mention was about the crash. I think you asked about it, and I forgot to speak about it.
Yes.
Yeah, another one of the things that we're sort of doing for inclusion is that we have childcare available on site. As long as people mm-hmm. book in advance, there is a creche which is provided by a community toy library, and that's actually covering the full session times, so the full days on Friday and Saturday and the half day on Sunday. So if people have children, then there's somewhere that they can leave them during the day while they go to sessions.
Awesome. That's fantastic. They did that because this year, too, it was really quite helpful. They had kind of like a co-op. People would volunteer their time, and it was great.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
It is. So last question, are there still any opportunities to submit for sessions or ideas?
Yes, actually. Sessions close at the end of this month, the end of June, so there's still time to do that. And actually, we would really strongly encourage people. We would absolutely love to get as many session offers as we can. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people needn't feel restricted by, you know, it doesn't have to be specifically about bisexuality. I've done a couple of sessions in the past. Last year I did one on defining love, and the year before mm-hmm. that I did one on Asperger's syndrome, sex and relationships. If you're at all not sure what types of sessions might happen at BICON, you can go to previous year's sites and look at the programs. That's always the best way to do it. And we've actually linked to those from our current website as well. So, yeah, if you want to offer any kind of entertainment or any kind of session, then we'd absolutely love you to go on our website and fill in the form and let us know what you'd like to do.
Fantastic, fantastic. Someday I will actually get over there.
That'd be brilliant.
It would be amazing. It's on my bucket list to go see my Becca. Although she may actually be moving here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's engaged to a fellow in Montana, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But we could fly back together and visit her family. I have it all worked out.
Plan.
Oh, thank you so much. Is there anything else you would like to add right now?
Let me have a little think. I think we've pretty much covered everything. And just, you know, I probably wanted to say how much, you know, I ended up going along to BICON as a complete sort of random thing. I was publishing a little magazine, and one of my friends was one of the organizers one year, and he said, like, you know, do you want to have a stall in, you know, a marketplace stall, which is another one of the things that you can do sort of for free at BICON. And I went along there and I met so many amazing, it was kind of one of those things that I wouldn't have necessarily have gone to if I'd heard that it was on. And it was because I happened to go and happened to find out how amazing it was that I ended up getting, you know, I've gone pretty much every year since and got really, really involved in it. And I guess I just wanted to, yeah, sort of say that, you know, if you're not sure if it's your type of thing, I'd really, really encourage you to sort of, you know, go along and check it out. If you're, you know, even like if you're thinking, oh, I just want to dip my toe in, you can go like for one day, maybe like the Friday is the best day to go, because then you've got the Saturday. You know, if you want to sort of extend your ticket, you can do that. You can sort of upgrade your ticket. So I definitely just encourage people to just give it a go, because, you know, I found it really amazing, and loads of people say like, oh, it's really changed my life.
Of your allies too, it's a great thing to do. It really sounds like it's really like no pressure. It's a good place to like go observe and learn and take in what you need or
certainly no requirement to identify as bisexual, you know. Many people come along. What we say is that anyone with a positive interest in bisexuality is welcome. So, you know, people identify in many different ways.
Absolutely. Or not at all.
Indeed.
Indeed. And that's all valid, right?
For sure. Yeah. And we have lots of discussions about that.
Well, through dialogue we learn and we grow, so it's great. All links will be provided on the website. I just want to remind everyone, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are just a human being, and you are a bisexual. Goodbye. Thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait for next year to have you back.
Thank you. Thanks.
This is Saint Zero from The Headphone Bleed, and you're listening to The Bicast. Symptoms may include an open mind, sense of community, shinier hair, and whiter teeth.
Results may vary.
You can catch me every Saturday night at www.live365.com/stations/Saint Zero.
The views expressed on The Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or The Bicast crew.